Morning is to bring praise to you, Lord, because that's where our praise belongs. Mag ons aanbidding aanneemlik wees vir u vanoggend, Here. Dit is ons hartsbegeerte. We love you, Lord. Thank you for church. Thank you for a house and a body. Thank you for brothers and sisters. Thank you for the body of Christ all over the world, God, worshiping you together this morning. That we're not alone. We open our hearts, Father, and we choose, Lord, to open. So that you can come and do a work today. As that woman pressing through the crowd, Lord, to reach you, so desperate for healing and change, God, we press through this morning and say, Lord, healing and change for us. Ons vra vir genesing, liggaam, siel en gees. In Jesus' name, in your mighty name, Lord. Who are we without you, Lord? Thank you. You can take your seat. You can open your Bible at Daniel, if you brought your Bible with. I'm just going to get my emotions under control. All right. Goeiemôre. Hello. Good morning. Visitors, very welcome in our house this morning. I'm going to deliver the message this morning in mingles. In Afrikaans, that means it's like a mix. We're going to do a bit of Afrikaans, a bit of English. But I trust that the Lord will minister to you regardless of every sentence that you don't understand. So you're so welcome in our midst. My name is Alida. For those who don't know me, and Rick asked me to share the message with you this morning, and he's away in Sirius today. Big day in our congregation in Sirius. They are ordaining a new pastor, Pastor Brett, and his wife Lisa, and they have two little boys who is going to come alongside Christoph and Miranda to pastor the, well, they're already pastoring, but today is like the official ordaining of Brett. We talk about the shampoo man. He's got this beautiful hair. It's like curly, but it's like this bos hare. Very nice. So if people or the kids are asking, who's Oom Brett? We just tell them he's the shampoo man. Because we said to him, yes, oh, do they use you in like shampoo ads? Because your hair is just so good. When we met him the first time. I don't know if you've tasted, but a few weeks ago, we changed our coffee in church as well. We are using Grondpad Coffee. Grondpad Coffee is Brett and Lisa's coffee brand. They use all the, what is the winste? The, is it proceeds? What's winste? The profit for that. They use for the ministry that they're busy with on the farms in the Kaalbokkeveld area for years. So we decided to change our coffee supplier to them. We want to support them and we want to support the ministry that they do in Kaalbokkeveld. I said, Lisa, I want to market your coffee in Worcester. Where can people buy it? So she's like, oh, we don't have a shop yet. But if you want to get in contact with them, they're also opening a nice coffee shop in Sirius as well, selling their coffee, but more to get the community together around a cup of coffee to share the truth. There are some big things happening in their lives and Brett being ordained as a pastor. So Rick and Carly is there this morning. That's why I'm here with you guys. And if you take notes while somebody is preaching, you can write there. The title for today is, I don't have any slides, we're going old school people, but I have my Bible, that's all we need. The title for today is, Ons is anders, we are different. I had such a cry this morning, in worship, because as we're saying, like, we are worshiping the Lord with generations before us. And I'm going to touch on that today. It's such a privilege to know, yes, generations before me, even in the time of Daniel, that's like many moons ago, people were worshiping the Lord. That is our lineage. That's what we are a part of. Very blessed. So we are different. Ons is anders. We're going to talk about that. So every time I preach, I think I have two or three sentences just on the importance of the Word of God and of the Bible. And this week I was reminded of that again as I was preparing, just how precious the Word of the Lord is. And I just want to encourage you again, nothing changes your life like reading the Bible. Nothing. I was looking at stats that one of our pastors sent through to us on the difference in people's lives when they just read the Bible. 4 times a week. That's just like what they got. Like 4 times a week, they sit with the Word and the huge impact it has on those people's lives. And as I was just reading through one book of the Bible this week that I will be sharing out of, I'm like, wow! We all know the story of Daniel, but I trust that God is going to minister to us so afresh today on the story of Daniel. Get somebody to be accountable. Read together. Do a Bible plan together in your small groups. Encourage one another to read the Word. Read what God is saying. So many people today say this is not really true and it didn't really happen. It's just stories or it is fables. And then it's a nice book to read, they say. It can give you guidelines on how you can live your life. So it's kind of like what I can do for myself. It's kind of like a tick list, how my life can be better. Where we know that this is the Word of the Lord, and this is what He uses to speak to us. And this is God saying what He did for us. It's not about me, my life, and my list. It's about Jesus and His sacrifice. That's the difference. This is the truth. And I want to encourage you to read it more. All right. I have the privilege of being a coach of a sports team. And we had our first official match yesterday. And the girls, I do hockey, so in the summer months we do a pre-season with them. But as you know, this was a very hot summer in Worcester. So we get, at Worcester Gym, we get girls from all spheres of life. And they come from backgrounds where there's no hockey in a school to very bad hockey to very good hockey. So it's quite a big mix that you get together. Most of my girls maybe played under 13B side in their primary school. Now they come to me. Now they're in my A side. And now we have to make this whole fun and galore story. We must make it match and Mitch and, I don't know, get unity and play hockey. But every time I practice 2:30 to 3:30, that is the hottest part of the day. Sure, they're going to play for a long time because I'm only starting now. Anyway. So every time I thought I should do fitness, we must do fitness. But then they are barely getting through just the basic exercises that they do. They're nauseous. They can't run anymore. They're like, coach, we're going to faint. It's really bad. So I'm like, yes, I can't like add fitness to this as well. They're not going to make it. You can see they're not lekker. So week after week, we do training, and I try to train them hard, but there's no space for fitness. So yesterday, we had a tournament in the holiday. Poor Tanya, she's my manager. We're like, let's go strong. Okay, they got beaten very badly. Every match, terrible. Okay, but structure-wise, at least, they are starting to get it. Hoe werk hockey? Waar speel jy? Wie moet jy merk? Honestly, guys, at the end of the tournament, probably the second last game, the one girl's like, coach, is a striker before a midfielder? Okay, right. Now you kind of get the idea. Lovely kids, but just a bit behind when it comes to hockey. First match yesterday, structure-wise, they get it. But fitness-wise, they don't. So they totally fall off the wagon. So the other team, which is not a great team, rushes over us and they win the match. And afterwards, we get together and my hockey boss, the hockey director, he's in our group with us. And he tells the girls, you are unfit. That's why you perform like this. You can know things here, but if it's not trained and if it's not in your body, if you don't have the fitness, you can't do it. You can ask Tanya. We did a speech before the time. I mean, I was psyched up to play myself. You can be prepped up and ready, and but if you don't have fitness, you won't be able to carry through. And I want to encourage you. I'm still on Bible reading. You have your Bible. It's there. But if it's not practiced in reading, as daai woord, as ons hom nie eet nie, as hy nie deel raak van ons nie, sukkel ons om te speel. Ian can tell me all about what he read in the Bible. He's fit. But if push comes to shove, I'm not. And then the world runs over me. And then it's terrible loss at the end of the day. So I'm still processing my poor girls. They need to get fit very quickly so that we can actually reap the fruit of all the effort that we've put in. All right, only starting now. Guys, I'm going to talk to you about Daniel. So Daniel in the Old Testament, we all know the stories of Daniel. So Daniel, the book is divided in two parts. Chapter 1 to 6 we know quite well because that's the miracles of Daniel. Lots of things happen in his life. But then chapter 7 to 12, it's a bit weird. We don't really read through it. There's like animals and monsters and weird things. And Daniel faints and Daniel struggles. And we're not really sure what is happening there at the end. But the beginning we know quite well. So I decided to just to talk a little bit on the book of Daniel. And hopefully it'll make you excited to just read more and discover more. So in Daniel, it's the time of Babylon. Babylon was the big, the groot mag, the groot army, King Nebuchadnezzar. He was like the Hitler of those days, very cruel, griesam, die ou. Killed people left, right, and center, lots of power. And he already captured Assyria at that time, and he wanted to capture Egypt, but Judah was in the way. So he decided, okay, Judah must also go because I need to expand my kingdom all the way to Egypt. So there was three exiles that happened. Three times they came to take people from Judah. So the first time they take the top layer, the royal families. Daniel and his friends were part of that. So they took them to Babylon and trained them in their ways. The second time they came back, they took the upper class. They took all the politicians and the craftsmen took away. And then the last time they just went to take all the rest. So in three batches, you can read it there. There's like history in it. I'm not going to go into deep depths because there's lots of detail in this book. But three parts that took them away. This is the area where Iraq is vandaag. Mesopotamia, tussen die Tigris en die Euphrates rivier, Iraq, se area waar dit is. Dis wat afspeel. So Daniel, in Afrikaans, it's Hanania, Misael en Azaria. Dit is hulle name, hulle regte name. Ons ken hulle beter as Daniel, Sadrach of Belsasar, Sadrach, Mesach, Abednego. Almal maak jy grappies hoe jy hulle name kan onthou. And then in English they have a twang. Sorry, it's like very all the names I need to remember. Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah. All right, so that's the new names that, that was the old names. And then the new names, when they got into Babylonia, they were given new names because they are trained to work and to be servants and leaders in this new kingdom. All right. So the first story that we know quite well is as these young men were taken captive from their families and their place of upbringing, new name, and a name is important. And now we're going to tell you, you read a lot of Babylonian text and we're going to feed you what Babylonians eat because and we want to teach you their laws because we want you to become Babylonian. Because we want to use you. Remember, this is the cream of the crop from Judah that they now have to get into their systems. By Slim. Here already, Daniel already, they were quite young at this stage. He's like, we're not going to eat what everybody eats. So already, he asked the guy that's in charge of them, listen, can you please just give us fruit and vegetables? We don't want to have this very rich diet that you guys eat. In those days in Babylonia, if you were really fat and overweight, they saw it as a token of richness and wellness. But Daniel said, that's not our law. We know it's healthy for us to live on fruit and veg. Obviously, we know that today. Ek weet dit, ek doen dit nie. vleis is te lekker. Maar some of you are very nice. And you can see those are the people with very red cheeks. I just have red cheeks because I talk today. I can feel me heating up here. But otherwise, those with die mooi gelaat en die blink oogies, those are the people who are the vegetarians who eat very healthy. But Daniel asked and said, listen, we do not want to eat any of these foods. I only want to eat my own food. This guy says, you're going to get into trouble. Daniel says, no, give it a time. Please give us 10 days. Test us on this. And God, the word says, God gave him favor with this leader. Sorry, it's no, praat 'n bietjie leuke taal, né? Die leier. Okay, right. And obviously they were found, wow, this is working and you could go on with what you asked for. So it was a small thing, but Daniel stood his ground over a little. And now we see what happens after that. So it started with something small that he asked. And we're going to read something for you. In spite of doing what many would call just a secular job, that's now Daniel and his friends, they were in full-time service for God. Remember, it's a secular country. It's a country that they're not used to, all right? They are standing for God. Indeed, my handwriting. Any job or any place can be a sacred vocation if it is sanctified to God. All believers are in full-time service. So Daniel was not appointed to be a church leader or a temple priest or anything like that, but he was in full-time service of the Lord God Almighty. And I want to encourage you today as well, no matter what you do, you are in full-time service of the Lord. It's not just something that is chosen for a few people who work for a church or in a church staff or is a missionary, etc. So in chapter 2, the king Nebuchadnezzar had a weird dream. It shook him in the night. He was like, what is this all about? But he forgets the dream in the morning. So he calls all the people that is, say, waarsêr, say, priesters, everybody who must tell him not only what the dream means, but also what did I dream because I forgot. And if you do not do that, I am going to kill you. So Daniel and his friends were included in this this group of people that he saw as his advisors, the king's advisors, all right? So they would also be dead if they did not come up with an answer. So obviously, nobody knew even what the guy dreamt, never mind what it meant. So Daniel and his friends heard about it and realized we are going to die if we do not give the king the answer. So they got together, they prayed, they asked the Lord, and in very detail, God gave the dream to Daniel, as well as the explanation of what it meant. Beautiful. I always thought it just interpreted the dream. God gave him the dream as well. All right. So he obviously went to the king. He said, God, ach, king, this is what you had dreamt, and this is what it meant. All the kingdoms that's coming behind you, I'm going to talk a little bit about that, because if you like history, that is very interesting. And immediately after that, they were giving greater positions of authority and honor in his kingdom. So they could have died. Poor us. Ballinge. Uitgegooi uit ons land. Who are we? But they ran to the Lord and said, God, we don't want to die. Save us. Please give us the interpretation because we know that you know it all. Everybody was going to suffer. They saved everybody. Remember, this is the cream of the crop also of the Babylonians. Everybody was saved because they inquired of the Lord together. And then God elevated them again. So the dream was of this big statue with a head and a body. It's like four parts made of different, like gold and silver and bronze and clay. You can read it, all the detail. But it was speaking about the kingdoms to come after King Nebuchadnezzar. Very detailed, like the Medes and the Persians will be next under King Cyrus. Then it will be the Greeks under Alexander the Great. We've all heard about Alexander the Great. After him, there will be a time where the Romans will be in charge. And interesting, it was the legs of iron. The statue had legs of iron. And it showed the German, the Roman army, that fierce army that was, that was in charge of keeping the law and order. It was a fierce army. So it makes sense that the legs were made of iron. So that's what those four things meant, and he said that to the king. So the king heard the interpretation. Daniel and his friends were saved. They got new jobs and new positions because, hey, you guys are just great and you're awesome. So now the king's like, okay, I'm going to make this huge statue. It was a very big statue. The Bible says people all over the kingdom could see this thing. Goodness, so this is a huge thing. I've not traveled in those parts. Maybe it's flat country, I'm not sure. So they made this huge statue, and the next thing they say is, right now, everybody must bow before this thing. A certain time, trumpets are going to go off, and then wherever you are, you need to bow before this. We don't know where Daniel was at this stage, but the story just tells us that his three friends, I'm not going to do all the names, Sadrach, Meshach, Abednego, those three friends, they didn't bow. And the punishment for this was that you will be thrown into the fire. I quickly want to read to you Daniel 3. I've got my Afrikaans Bible, so the English people, you're welcome to just follow. Daniel 3, verse 18. So the three friends obviously said, no, sorry, we're not going to bow. We only bow for one king alone. This worship this morning was so beautiful because we just kept saying, God, you are the God, and it's only you that we will praise. And those boys or young men, they were saying the same thing. Chapter 3, verse 18. Die God wat ons aanbid, kan ons uit die vuur red. Hy sal ons uit die mag bevry, U Majesteit. En selfs al red hy ons nie, sal ons nie U gode vereer nie. Even if God does not save us out of this burning furnace, we will not bow down. So beautiful, such deep conviction in the hearts that our God is the true God. And even if we die, even if He chooses not to save us today, even if He chooses not to take us out of this circumstance, put it in your own life, even if God says no, I will still worship Him. I will not bow down to whatever God is dictating or manipulating me. They survived the fiery furnace. They came out. Even the people who threw them into the fire, those people who threw them into the fire burned to death. But those three friends survived. A fourth one, the king looked in and they saw a fourth person. So some scholars say that that could even be a manifestation of Jesus in the Old Testament, who was with them in the fire. They did not smell like fire. Oh, I burned things this week on my oven again. Everything smells. Yes, your hair, your clothes, like burn is everywhere. They didn't even smell of smoke or burning. They came out. So the king was like, whoa, now this is amazing. Everybody must worship this God and have respect for this God because look what He can do. This is amazing. He elevated the positions of authority again of those three friends, gave them higher positions, higher places of honor in His kingdom. Very interesting. He does not bow down before God, the true King, but He gives a command to His people. This is a great God. You can follow Him. You can follow or have honor for Him or whatever. All right. Interesting. This same king, King Nebuchadnezzar, one of the wives that he married was a princess from Persia. And she came out of an area that it was mountainous. And she was longing for home and asking, I miss the mountains and I miss trees and I miss wild animals. So Nebuchadnezzar built this huge, I'm not quite sure what it is. It's not a mountain. It's not a palace, but this huge thing. And he put trees and plants all over it. And today you can go see it. It is the Hangende Tuine van Babylon. It's one of the seven wonders of the world. What is the Hangende Tuine in Engels? Thank you, that one. It's still something that people can see today. So he made that for his princess, the same king that we are talking about. So one day, Nebuchadnezzar fell asleep and he had a dream about a tree. Now we're in chapter 4, just quickly walking through this. A big tree and then like a boer arte or like a supernatural something came from out of heaven and cut this tree down. And he also wasn't sure what it meant and he remembered that Daniel's God knows, so he asked Daniel to come and to interpret the dream for him and Daniel was a bit panicky. When God told him what it meant, he didn't want to say. And the king could see, and he's like, no, tell me what it means. So Daniel interprets what God says, although it was a difficult thing to give. He says, The tree is you. The hand from above is the Lord. He's going to cut you down because you do not declare and worship Him alone. That's what's going to happen. So 1 year later, King Nebuchadnezzar was walking in this big thing, tree, mountainous, hanging gardens that he built. He was walking there and he thought, how great am I? And right there, he went crazy. So God says, this tree that I'm going to cut down, that is going to come true. He once again walks in this garden. How wonderful, how great I am. And he goes crazy. His people had to lock him up in a kind of like a zoo place. And he ate grass. Exactly the dream that he had earlier that Daniel had to interpret, I think, if I'm right now. Sorry if I mix it up. But it happened exactly as God prophesied it was going to happen. In that time, King Belshazzar became king. That's now the second king. It's very close to Daniel's name, Belshazzar, but this is just King Belshazzar, no T, all right? Just hang in there with me. So he was having a big party, the king with all his officials, and they said, hey, those beautiful cups and ornaments that you stole from the big temple in Jerusalem, from Judah, gaan haal daai uit. Daai wat Nebukadneser nog gesteel het, bring dit. Ons wil uit dit uit drink. We want to make, well, they didn't say it, but like a mockery of the true God and the temple. So while they were drinking out of these cups that they got, that they took captive from the temple way back then, miraculously a hand starts to write on the wall. We know this story as well. Die skrif is die muur. Dis die Afrikaanse sê ding, nê? Jy het voete van klei. Dit kom ook uit Daniel. Verwys na daai standbeeldse voete. And it writes, I can't pronounce these things amazingly, but it writes on the wall. They all shiver. They are all afraid. They do not know what that means. And I think it was the king's wife saying, remember that guy. He knows. Call him. So Daniel comes. Daniel asks God for the interpretation. And the interpretation is, your days are counted, king. You have been weighed. You have been found to light. Your kingdom will divide. That night, the king was murdered. Goodbye for him. King Darius, next king. Right, are you still with me? Okay, wild times. King Darius is the next one. And the officials under King Darius, they become jealous at Daniel because Daniel is just good in everything that he does. The Lord's favor is on him. He's got such authority. He's got this God that helps him, that guides him, that interprets difficult things for him. Side note. That same spirit in Daniel lives in you and in me. Yeah. All right. So they got jealous. They tried to figure out, oh, we don't like this guy. What can we do with him? So they went to the king. They made a plan. They said, king, we have to make like a law that people need to bow down to you. So this is a different king. Né? Many times we read the kids' Bible, we think it's all Nebuchadnezzar. But now we're like two kings on already with King Darius. They must bow down to you. Yeah, what a great thing. Let everybody bow down to me. Obviously, Daniel will not do that. So he goes to his upper room and he keeps praying 3 times a day like he prays. So the spies like, yeah, got you, caught. Jy buig nie voor die koning nie. Moeilikheid. Jy word in 'n leeukuil gegooi. But very interesting, when they spoke to the king about Daniel, they said, this Daniel, een van die Judese ballinge, dit is in hoofstuk 6 vers 14, he was one of those Judeans that you took captive. So already this happened, Daniel was 90 years old at this stage, so this happened long ago. But they still remembered his past. They still remembered he's not one of us. They still remembered that he was a hy's a gevangene, he's not really supposed to be here. This guy is not praying and bowing down to you. And as I was reading that, I was like, yeah, that is so the devil. He keeps reminding us of who we were, of where we came from. That shame around your neck, he keeps bringing it up. It's like, jy wat vandaar afkom, jy wat dit deur is, jy wat daai gedoen het in jou verlede. And the same with Daniel. Again, that was part of his name. As they brought the accusation before the king. And I want to read to you Daniel 6, verse 23 to 29. So if you have your Bible here today, yay, then you can read with me. I have a bit of a of a more relaxed Bible translation. I'm sorry for all the theologians and teachers. I know it freaks you out, but please just stay with me. You can read it in your Bible as well. So verse 23. So they threw Daniel into the lion's den. Darius didn't really want to do that. He actually liked Daniel a lot, but obviously the officials tricked him. Okay, so now he has to do it. He made a law, and that law could not be changed. There's nothing that you can do about it. So it has to happen. But in his heart, he was like, I didn't really like doing it. So into the lion's den he goes. 23, I want to read to you. My God het sy boodskapper gestuur, en hy het die leeu se bekke toegesluit, sodat hulle niks aan my kon doen nie, want ek het niks verkeerds teen hom gedoen nie. Ook teen die koning het ek geen oortreding begaan nie. Die koning was baie bly hieroor. Hy het gesê dat Daniel uit die hok gehaal moes word. Daniel is daar uitgehaal en daar was geen skrapie aan hom nie, want hy het op sy God vertrou. Die koning het toe beveel dat daardie mans wat Daniel wou verontreg, saam met hulle kinders en vroue in die leeuhok gegooi moes word. Hulle het skaars grond gevat in die hok, of die leeuws het hulle verskeur. Koning Darius het toe aan al die volke, nasies en tale oor die hele aarde 'n brief geskryf. His kingdom was very vast and big. Hartlike groete vir julle almal. Dis my net mooi, okay? Ek vaardig 'n bevel uit dat in al die gebiede van my ryk daardie agting en respek moet wees vir die God van Daniel. Hy is die God wat lewe en vir altyd bestaan. Sy koninkryk ken geen einde nie en sy regering het geen grense nie. Hy bevry en hy red. Hy rig tekens op en doen wonders bo in die hemel en onder op die aarde. Hy het Daniel gered uit die mag van die leeus. En hierna het Daniel voorspoedig in Darius se ryk gelewe en ook in die van Kores, die pers, wat na hom gekom. A foreign king, proclaiming that this is the one true God. This God saved this guy above all. One act. One man who said, I will not be manipulated. I will keep on doing what I'm doing. And then after that, the book becomes a bit weird. Because now all of a sudden, we change to a first person speaker. Iemand skryf nou in die eerste persoon. And it's all these different dreams and visions that Daniel is getting. What is so precious for me is when Daniel was a young boy, he was tested by being put in difficult circumstances. He was proved faithful over a little, faithful over more, he and his friends. And as God sees, they are faithful, they are choosing me, they are worshipping me, in spite, once again, difficult circumstances, unfair circumstances, all the accusations that were brought against them, it was unfair. And all while this was happening, God could trust this man with visions and prophecies for you and me today to encourage us that he is coming again for us. So a lot of the prophecies in Daniel, I'm not going to go into them. They are being repeated or referred to in the book of Revelations at the end of the Bible. And God showed him things to come right before the birth of Christ and right before the second coming of Christ, when Jesus is coming back to fetch us. So the things that are happening, once again, if you read it, let your child read it and see what they say about it. It's weird. All these animals and things. I'm not going to go into that. But they all refer to just before Jesus came. Then there's a gap. Jesus' birth and his life, nothing in Daniel was about that, but it was again about the second coming of Christ, which we are still waiting for. So while he got these prophecies of the time before Jesus would be born, it was 500 years of waiting time. And if you check, they say even the dialect in which Daniel was written, the dialect, the second part of Daniel, changed to Hebrew. Because now he was speaking to a Hebrew nation. And he was saying to them, your Messiah is coming. This is what we believe, and this is what God is saying. And the first part of Daniel, like the miracles part, was written in Aramaic for a wider audience to understand the miracles of the Lord. But they knew that the Jews need to know this. Interesting passages to read through. Then Daniel hears what God is saying, and it is too much for him, and he will collapse and faint. It's just too much. Then an angel will come and pick him up and say, God loves you, Daniel. Stand. Be strong. listen what I'm telling you. Obviously, he wrote down what the Lord said because that's why we can read it today. He became so worried. He was scared. Everywhere you can see it. He was, the Afrikaans is ontsteld. Hy was bekommerd, hy was bang, flou geval. In of all of this that the Lord is sharing with you. He did not understand and he asked the Lord, Lord, clear this up for me. I don't get this. What do you mean by this? God didn't answer him. He just gave him another thing to write down and another thing to write down. So just know that it's not always easy when God uses you. I mean, if you faint in the presence of the Lord, if you faint, sorry, with the harsh word that God is giving, it's tough, and you have to write it down. If you faint when an angel appears to you and talks to you about things to come, just be obedient and write it down. That encouraged me. I was not a gewone mens, ek is not a gewone mens. So the theme in this book for me that just, it really edifies me and built me up this week is to be faithful despite our persecution. We as a people in South Africa, but we as a people all over the globe, we suffer because people and our leaders build their own kingdoms. It's human kingdoms. And the human kingdoms rebel against God's kingdom and all the people suffer. And you and I, we're part of that. And all these visions that the Lord is giving for us also in this word encourages us to wait. God will avenge. God die laaste sê, dis ek al die laaste paar jaar. Maar ek sukkel om te vind wie ek is in Suid-Afrika. Ons het nou 6 April, was dit 6 April? Wanneer het Jan van Riebeeck gekom? 1652, 6 April. Ek kyk nou daai kant toe vir my mense wat ken. 6 April, dit was nou laas week. Dit pla my. Ek wil baie graag eerder in Nederland wees. Do we have people from Netherland here today? Okay, so it happens to me often, and I'm like, why did my forefathers come here? It looks very much easier in your country, by the way. Why do we have to suffer like this here? Who am I? Nou, ek is 'n wit Suid-Afrikaner. Ek weet jy sit met jou eie issues as jy nie 'n wit Suid-Afrikaner is. Ons almal het issues. Hier in Afrika het ons is 'n mengelmoes. Ons is mixed. Ons is de mekaar. I'm like, who are my people? I want to know who's my people. Wat doen ons? Yes, I like braai, but I don't like racism. Yes, I like to have chats and kuier, but I don't like to be drunk. I don't like to swear. So I don't really know if I want to be a part of you. Other cultures, they're loud. They do this, they do that. I don't like it. I'm like, where's my people? I'm being very, very vulnerable here. I'm looking for my people. En dan dink ek, Harry Jan van Riebeeck. Kon jy nie ons gelos het waar ons was nie? Wouldn't life been easier? But life would not have been easier even if I were in the Netherlands. But as I was reading through this passage, I was just reminded again, my people are you. It's the brothers and sisters in Christ. That is my people. Daniel is my people. People who fear and love the Lord. Dit is waar my identiteit is. God se mense. God se volk. En God gaan terugkom vir ons. Ooh, ek is jammer. Sorry, I'm just a woman. Women cry a lot. Hang on. I'm just being authentic here today. But it was such an encouragement for me. And it reminded me again, that is what I'm a part of. I will never fit in. If I choose to follow Christ, I will always be different. I will not fit into the Afrikaners. I will not fit into the local Wooster gang. I will not fit into the farmers gang in the valley. I will not fit. Ons is gemaak om uit te staan en om anders te wees as ons Jesus Christus kies en volg. Punt. En as jy nie doen nie, dan moet jy vir die Here vra, dis tyd, druk my, ek moet uitstaan. Ek moet anders wees. Dit is hoe dit is. Ons kan nie soos die wêreld lyk nie. Ons het 'n belofte, there's a promise, that one day, God will come and obviously will confront this beast, the enemy, everything that we suffer from on earth. And we know that he already won. Jesus already won. We are waiting for that promise to be fulfilled. So I hope that this message today will just awaken a hope in our hearts again to stay faithful. Stay faithful wherever you are, whatever work you do, whatever family God placed you in whatever area you're living in, stay faithful to Him. You can stand with me. I'm going to trust the Holy Spirit now to move in our hearts and to minister to us. I want you to close your eyes because I really trust that the Holy Spirit is going to minister in different ways to us this morning. I believe for some of you, you are tired of being different. You are tired of the one standing out like a sore thumb. You are tired of persecution and you are just tired of the one who always taking the flak because you want to stand for God and you want to worship Him and for His principles. And I just sense that the Lord is saying this morning, I see you, my boy. I am proud of you. During those times in the visions that, jullie kan dit gaan lees, those vision times, a few times God says to Daniel, I'm proud of you. You are mine. You are my loved, beloved one. And I sense the Lord wants to just highlight that for you again today. So if that's you, hang on. I'm going to call you forward in a moment. You're tired of that. Then the other part, there's maybe some of you like, I'm not brave to stand out. Alida, I'm not made for this. I'm introverted. I'm just low and slow. I don't want to rock the boat. I don't want to say anything. I don't think my legs can stand for Jesus. It's too tough a call. And if the Holy Spirit is making you a little bit uncomfortable this morning, then that is you and that He's speaking to you. And I'm going to ask you to come forward because we're going to ask really that the Lord will make you brave, that His Spirit will help you to make you brave, that He will give you the love for people around you so that you can speak truth in love, that you can stand for truth in love. And then I believe there's some of you, you hear the Lord's voice, but you are also like Daniel, you are so scared. You are so worried. Nobody is listening. This is going to happen. God is speaking. Why? Why, Lord, is nobody coming to you, Lord? Why is nobody coming to repentance? Jy's ontsteld. Jy verstaan nie. God shows you stuff, but you don't have a clue what it means. And it's actually just taking your joy. You are struggling just with everyday life. With all of this that the Lord is actually showing you. And you have the same emotions that Daniel had. And I believe God today wants to, like that angel came to Daniel and he took his hand and he said, do not be afraid. I'm going to pick you up now. Stand on your legs. I'm going to help you. So it's these three groups that I believe the Holy Spirit wants to minister to you today. And while we were worshiping, the thing that I shared about my own identity that I struggled with, I think maybe some of you might say yes to that as well. Alida, I'm the same. I struggle just to know who I am and where I fit in. I've tried many groups, many churches, many people, many clubs, book club, tennis club. I tried this and that. I don't fit in anywhere. It's not my people. And that God will bring to you the joy and the revelation of being His. His tribe, His children, His kingdom. That's where you belong. So, if you can quickly open your eyes and have a look. So, those of you, you are just tired of standing, tired of die een wat uitstaan, moeg van persecution. Ek wil hê jy moet vir my heel daai kant kom staan. I'm not going to lay hands on you all. I'm just going to ask that the Lord will come and do something for you today and minister to you. I know walking out is difficult for some of you. Please just do it this morning. Please just say, yes, Lord, that's me. If that's you. If you struggle to be brave, if you're like, Lord, I need a touch. I need you to help me. I struggle to be brave. I want you to be right next to me over here. And if all the things that the Lord is showing you is really, it's making you worried. Jy's bekommerd. Wat is? Jy weet nie wat om te maak met dit wat die Here vir jou wys nie. Die burden is vir jou groot. En jy sukkel met dit. Jy's vir my hierso. En as jy soos Alida sukkel met identiteit, Here, hoe is dit om deel te wees van jou kinders, wil ek hê moet jy hier kom staan. God, I choose you, but yeah, ek voel nog nie deel van die liggaam van Christus nie. I don't get it yet. We trust that God's going to do something. So you can come out. Come stand quickly in front here. Kom. Ek kan nie met niemand gepraat nie, want dan het ek die Here so misgehoor. I can also do that. Can also happen. Please come and stand in front. We're going to trust the Lord to do something today new. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for everybody being obedient, God. Thank you that today, Lord, you are changing us afresh and anew. You know what we need, Lord. You know. Father, I cannot change or do anything, Lord. And I just pray for desperate hearts to reach through, Lord, so you can touch them today. But although I used the image of the lady pressing through the crowd, touching Jesus, I don't see Jesus' back to you this morning. His face is right in front of you and He's smiling at you. Thank you, Lord. The rest of us, can you stretch out our hands? I'm just going to trust the Lord to do some just corporate ministry. So, Father, we start with these people and we say, Lord, You know where they walk and they talk, Lord. And they are tired, God, of being the dwars een wat altijd uitstaan, Here. But opstaan, Father, my flak vat, God. You know the persecution that they are facing, Lord. You know the family, the friends, the community, God. Yeah, they just don't get it. And I pray, Father, for strength. Strength in their inner man. Strength through reading the Word, Lord. Strength through knowing who they are as Yours, Lord. And I pray for a contentment to fall over them in Jesus' name, Lord. So a rustigheid, Father. So a vrede. In Jesus' name. Strengthen their legs in Jesus' name. And I pray for people, Lord. And I pray even for angels, if there's no people, to keep their hands up in Jesus' name. And Holy Spirit, we pray that You will minister now to everybody, Lord, who's too afraid to speak up. They know the truth. It's in their hearts. But, they are so afraid to offend, Lord, so afraid to say something that's wrong, Lord, so afraid to ruffle feathers. En Heilige Gees, ek bid dat Jy hulle wys sal maak. Waar is die plekke van opstaan? Bewaar hulle van stupidity, Here. Ek bid vir wysheid en 'n boldness, nie uit hulle self nie, maar uit die Heilige Gees, die soet Gees van die Heilige Gees, Here, wat in Daniël was. Bid ek sal begin manifesteer in hierdie mense se lewens in Jesus se naam. Not only for their own sake, God, but for the sake for the people around them, the generation around them, the community around them. And in the Spirit, I declare, stand in the name of Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Father, and I ask that today, Lord, You know the hearts. You know that they're worried, Lord. They don't know what to do, Lord, with what they see, God. And I pray that in the service today, they will experience, Father, how You lift them up, how You cradle them, how You tell them again, I've got it. I've had it for ages. I've got it. You, Your little world, and the whole world belongs to Me. I got it. I pray that they will let go of control, especially of the things that they do not understand. They don't have to understand. And I declare it over them. They will never understand Your ways, God. You're too vast for us. I speak over them just to relax. Show them the balance between what is weighty and what needs prayer and what just needs faith. Just leave it out there. Trust Me. Show them that balance. In Jesus' name, I pray it. I pray it. Father, I pray for the discipline to pick up their pencils and pens and to write what You tell them. Ek sien dagboeke, ek sien laptops, ek sien penne en selfone en jy skryf wat die Here vir jou wys. 500 jaar toe is Jesus eers gebore. Maar Daniël het dit geprofeteer van die een wat gaan kom. Show them how to carry that to the next generation. Here, ons nasie is stupid. Ons weet nie hoe om legacy te bou met dit wat U vir ons gee nie. En ek bid dat Jy dit vir al vir hierdie mense sal wys. In Jesus' name. And Father, I pray for my brothers, Lord, who are just struggling with identity. Where do they belong? Where do we belong? Ons roep het uit vanochtend na Here, dat U dit vir ons vars sal oopmaak. Wie sin is ons? Declare, Lord, that Your church is not perfect and Your family is not perfect. We are messy, but we are part of it because Jesus is in You. I And with my brothers, I want to declare we want to be in your boat, Lord. We want to be part of your family. It doesn't have to look like we want it to look. Dit hoef nie te klink soos wat ons wil hê dit moet klink, Here. Ons maak ons hande oop en ons sê, Here, ons is 'n deel van jou familie. Ons kies dit. Ons kies dit as ons Jesus kies. En ek bid vir 'n vars openbaring vir ons oor dit. In Jesus se naam. Can I ask you to please just be bold and take the person's hand next to you? Can we all just hold hands? Just step across the aisle if you have to. Let's just quickly hold hands. I'm just going to end off in prayer. I want to say I'm sorry for all my tears, but I'm not sorry. As ek moet lyk soos 'n gemors as ek preek, al my make-up af sou beet. As jy jou skoene moet uittrek voor al die hoë geplaaste sou beet. We will be more undignified than this. So jy kan relax. Ek is relaxed. We do ook like relax. Jesus, we as a congregation, Father, having just taken hands this morning. Father, we call on your name, your beautiful name, Lord. And with all our generations before us, Father, we want to say glorify your name. Groot is jou naam, Here God. Wie is ons sonder jou? Ons spreek, Here, jy is die enigste God wat daar is. The one true King. There is nobody like you. We turn our faces away, Father, from idols. We turn our faces away, Lord, from all the pagan kings, Here, in ons wêreld. En ons weet daar so baie name vir hulle, Here. En vanoggend sê ons weer, ons lock in op jou gesig, Jesus Christus. You are our one true King. And we want to say, Lord, we want to be brave and say, God, even if you don't, we will keep on worshiping you. Dankie vir jou teenwoordigheid, alomteenwoordigheid, en dat jou Heilige Gees saam met ons huis toe gaan, werk toe gaan, in ons karre klim, by die huis is, Here, saam met ons kinders oor by die skool wag hou. Jou Heilige Gees, Here, klim saam met ons in die bed in die aand en hy hou wag oor ons daar, Here. Jy weet van ons, jy weet van ons, Here. Jou gesig glimlag. Dankie dat jy ons liefhet. En ons almal sê, amen. Dankie, Here. Be blessed, community, gemeenskap, wat? Church, have a coffee, have a tea.